prepared this morning by Jerry. And Matt, you did a good job in reading the scriptures, and we certainly are to welcome all of you that are here today. We're glad you're here. I hope that you're happy. I hope that you're glad that you're here. I was glad when they said to me, let's go into the house of the Lord. Hope that's your feeling today. Should be. And no wonder we read in John 4:23-24, the hour cometh and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For such do the Father seek to worship Him. God is the Spirit. They that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. And we miss our people when they can't be here. I'm sorry, Friday when I was talking to Deanie, she said, I'm really hoping that I can be there Sunday morning. She just couldn't, bless her heart. And Philip, we're real glad to see you sitting back in that pew. Boy, there was a time when he was in such a, just a terrible shape, and thankfully now he's able to be back with us. And just keep praying. We have, of course, John's dad that we're all praying for, and for the family. We want John to know, and Kenneth and all the family, that we're thinking about them and our prayers go out to them. And let's just do everything we possibly can to encourage each other in the kingdom of God. This is the church of Christ. That means that this church belongs to Christ. We belong to the Lord. He is our head. He has all preeminence. Colossians 1 and verse 18. And last week we talked about some of the don'ts. You remember in Genesis chapter 19. There was a woman who was told not to look back. And guess what she did? Well, even though she received mercy from God who sent two angels to Lot to deliver them out from the impending danger. And even though one of the angels held her hand, brought her out of the city, she was out of the city. And even though she was told in plain, simple language to escape, and even though she was told clearly, don't look back, she looked back. She became a pillar of salt. Friend, I mentioned last week some don'ts. Don't be a gossiper. Leviticus 19:16. And don't be a Demas. Having loved this old world, he gave up the Lord. 2 Timothy 10. Don't be a person who sows discord among the brethren. Six things that the Lord hate, yea, seven the abomination of the Lord. God wants brethren to dwell together in unity. Psalms 133:1. And don't forsake the assembling. That's one of the means of building us up. Hebrews 10:24-25. Today I want to do some lessons concerning do's. Some things we need to do. Now a lot of people say there's not anything we need to do. But they're wrong. Be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. When an individual understands what they're supposed to do, then they ought to engage in that. You remember I told you this story about how that this woman told her little boy, said, don't say anything about his nose, the fellow that was coming to visit him. And right when the doorbell rang, guess what? She told him again, don't say anything about his nose. She opened up the door and said, come in, Mr. Nose. Well, that was on her mind. Yes. And surely, you and I want to think always those things that are good. And notice that this woman that is in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, they're all together. And there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment, spikenard, very precious. She broke the box and poured it on his head. And there were some that had indignation within themselves and said, why was this waste of the ointment made? Let me stop just a moment. People are going to criticize a lot of things you do. Here are some that were criticizing this woman. Now look what the Bible says. For it might have been sold for more than 300 pence and had been given to the poor. They murmured against her. And Jesus quieted them. Jesus said to them, let her alone. Why trouble ye her? She hath wrought a good work on me. For ye have the poor with you always, and whensoever ye will, you may do them good. But me you have not always. She hath done what she could. Boy, we need to remember that. God doesn't require anything out of anybody that can't be done. God only requires us to do what we can do, just like with her. She has come beforehand to anoint my body to the bare, and verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also that she hath done shall be spoken of for a memorial unto her. Remember Abraham in the Old Testament is another good example. Well, Abraham was a man that would do what God told him to do. God told him in Genesis chapter 12, get up and leave your country. Go into a place that I will show you. What did Abraham do? Got up and left. Why? He believed God. One of the things, though, when God told Abraham, take that boy that he loved, his son Isaac, offer him as a sacrifice unto God. In Genesis chapter 22, beginning in verse 1, we find the record telling us that Abraham did exactly that like God told him to do. Why? He believed God. He took that boy and he bound him, laid him on the boy had asked the question, Father, here is the wood, all that's necessary to make the sacrifice. Where is the sacrifice? What did Abraham say? Abraham said, God will provide the sacrifice. When Abraham took his hand and he was going to slay his own son, the voice of God spoke, Abraham, Abraham, what now does God say about this great man? Can he say that about you? Can he say about me? Now I know. What do you know? Yes, he knew. Now I know that you fear God. He would command his own children after him, Genesis 18:19. And God knew this man. And the very first thing I want to talk about today then, one of the do's for all of us, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Jesus, Matthew chapter 7, verse 12 says, therefore all things, not some things. Jesus said, what? Therefore all things whatsoever you would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. For this is the law and the prophets. Do you want everyone to treat you like you treat them? When you come into the building, do you speak to everybody? Are you friendly? Well, here the Bible tells us, Jesus emphasized it in many other passages. In Luke 6, verse 31, as you would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise. And then we find in Mark 12, verse 31, that the second commandment is like unto the first. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. That's the Master. He's speaking. And 1 John 4, verse 20, if a man say, I love God and hates his brother, he's a liar. Who's a liar? John says, a man's a liar who says that you love God, but you hate your brother. We can't do it. Why? We're Christians. We belong to the one who said on the cross, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Loving one another is just emphasized over and over. As you would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them, for this is the law and the prophets. Number, verse Peter 3, verse 9, Peter said, not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrariwise, knowing that you are thereunto called, that you should inherit the blessing. That's the reason. Now, in Hebrews 13, verse 2, a statement is made. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. That's an interesting verse. How you treat others. Surely, we want to make sure we treat them as we would that they should treat us. Number two, saw a sign come into the church building this morning. Just be kind. In Ephesians 4, verse 32, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. And if I were to choose, which I did, an example in the Bible of a man that was really kind, even though he had been treated really bad. I mean, this man called Joseph had been sold by his brothers. They were jealous. But Joseph did not repay his brother by taking vengeance on them. He took care of them. He sheltered them. He took care of their families and their stock. Genesis 50, verse 21, after Jacob had died, now therefore fear ye not, I will nourish you and your little ones and be comforted. And he comforted them, and he spoke kindly unto them, though they had treated him rotten. Be ye kind. It's a good thing to show your family how kind you can be. Husbands, are you kind to your wife? Wives, are you even considering kind to your husbands? Parents, how do you rate on this? Do you speak to them kindly? Or do all they hear from you is criticism? Children, what kind of attitude? How do you express yourself to your parents? In 1 Peter 4, verse 9, there's a statement made by Peter. And Peter says, use hospitality one to another without grudging. Romans 12, verses 9 through 13, particularly let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Yes, be kind. Thirdly, greet one another. Say hello. Salute one another with a holy kiss. The churches of Christ salute you. Romans 16, verse 16. The Corinthian church was told by Paul in 1 Corinthians 1, verse 3, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And they were warned even about their coming together that it wasn't for the better, it was for the worse. Why? They wouldn't even eat together. How sad. Why? When we're brothers and sisters in Christ, how do we treat one another? You may differ in some of your decisions. I may be different from you. How do we treat each other? It's so important. Look at it. So many scriptures. The Bible tells us over and over in Romans chapter 12, verse 15, you rejoice with those that rejoice. Now, I'll have to say to you, yesterday was a difficult time for people of the War Eagle people. Coming down to the very end of the game, the very last second, practically, 3 seconds maybe, a man kicking a ball, and they're hoping all the Auburn faithful that he'll miss it. But he didn't. He made it. What a blow. That's terrible, wouldn't it? For the Auburn people. A few hours later, first thing that happened in the Alabama-Ole Miss game, and you probably saw it. Could you believe that Ole Miss would score and go on the scoreboard first? I don't think there's many people in Alabama that were happy about that. But then, time kept on going. Who would ever dream 62-7? Time of rejoicing. You have a time of weeping and a time of rejoicing. There are other illustrations you can use. How do we feel? Feel about with others. God wants all of His children that we are now, number 4, to be blameless. How do you become blameless? You make sure your life is like it ought to be. And as a result of such, when you do wrong, you admit it. And you correct it. That's what God wants. I was looking up various passages of scriptures with regards to this point, and look at it in Colossians 3, verse 14. Do all things without murmurings and disputing. Boy, that would cover a lot of us. He said, do all things without murmuring and disputing. Who's hearing all that murmuring and all that disputing, God? That you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, children of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life. You're the light of the world, Christian. Everybody's looking at you. How are you conducting your life? If you've done something wrong, have you corrected it? If you haven't, you're blamable. If you have, you're blameless. Blameless and harmless, but that isn't the only verse. Let's look at it. James says, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Look what he says. How do you keep yourself unspotted from the world? You do what? You practice pure religion. And you make sure that you do all that you can for those that are fatherless and widows. How many of you young people visit or call some of the old people that are confined to their homes, who can't get out? Do you even call them? How many of you actually send a card to somebody that's not in your little group? Why? How many of us, when somebody dies, how many of this church will be sending cards or calls or go visit and help all that you can? Who? Those just related to you? Just in your sphere? Look what he's saying. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this. You do something. You show something to whom? Those that are fatherless and widows. And keep yourself unspotted from this world. Listen to what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 19, verse 21. Jesus said unto him, a man that had come to him and said, Lord, what shall I do that I may inherit everlasting life? He was a good man, a young man. He was a wealthy man. All he wanted to know is what the Lord wanted him to do. At this point, he could say, I've kept the commandments of this, and one of the ones that Jesus asked him. And Jesus said, now if you want to be without blame, if you want to be perfect, that is complete, here's all you got to do. Here's your answer you've asked, now I'm going to tell you. Jesus said, go and sell everything you have and give it to the poor. In other words, give it to those who cannot give it back to you. And then come and follow me. You can be my disciple. I assure you that you'll be my disciple if you do what I tell you. He hadn't told everybody to do that. But if that kept you from following him, you ought to listen to it. But this man had so much wealth that he turned away sorrowful. Now he's to blame. He was unblameable, blameless, until he asked and was told. And when he was told what he needed to do, he turned away, just like a lot of people today. When you tell them what you need to do, they turn away. It's not what they want to do. And like this young man, turned away because he was a man of great possessions. Jesus said, how hardly shall the rich enter in the kingdom of God. Why? That's where their trust is. That's where their confidence is. This man now becomes blamable. Why? Because he didn't do what the Lord told him to do. In 1 Corinthians 1, verse 8, who shall also confirm you unto the end that you may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ? Told us how we are to be blameless, correct anything that is an error in our life. Then we cannot be faulted with being at blame. Philippians 2 and verse 5, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. Be ye doers of the word, James 1, 22. O'Neill, that's us. Each one needs to be a doer of the word. Look in Titus 3, verse 1. Put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work. When I pulled in over at Elaine and Bobby Purcell's to pick up my wife from the ladies' Bible class, I couldn't even get a parking place hardly. I was thrilled to death. Yes, an opportunity. God has provided so many. But are you willing to be ready to every good work? There's a little story about four people named Everybody, Somebody, Anybody, and Nobody. There was an important job to be done, and everybody was sure that somebody would do it. Anybody could have done it, but nobody did it. Somebody got angry about that because it was everybody's job. Everybody thought that anybody could do it, but nobody realized that everybody wouldn't do it. It ended up that everybody blamed somebody when nobody did what anybody could have done. You see, it's not so much knowing, not knowing. We do know. And we're responsible for what we know. There's so many beautiful songs. Work for the night is coming when nobody works. John 9, verse 4. Work for Jesus, oh my brother, His disciple ever be. I want to be a worker for the Lord. Lord, send me. John 9, verse 4, Jesus says, I must work the works of Him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. Who will follow Jesus? The answer is found in Isaiah 6 and verse 8. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? Then said I, here am I, Lord, send me. Will you say that today? Who will follow Jesus all the way, doing everything that Jesus tells you to do, that you can do just like the woman of which Mark wrote? There is a song, and I had never heard it before, but I've typed out the words or copied the words. Lord, Send Me by Keith Green. Oh, Lord, so many souls to be won. Oh, Lord, this world is falling apart. Dying for love from a broken heart. Here am I. Lord, send me. Though there's really not that much I can do, what I have seems so small, but I want to give it to You. Oh, Lord, You said the harvest was great, but Lord, looks like the workers are late. It's getting hard to understand how they ignore Your great command. Here am I, send me. Though You said the ones who labor are few, still my heart hears the call, and I want to give it all to You. Oh, to reach the ones nobody does, give up my pride and even work in the mud. I want to be like those who spilled their blood and gave it like water to You. Oh, Lord, there's just so much to be done. Oh, Lord, so many souls to be won. It seems this world is falling apart. Lord, won't You send me? Oh, Lord, there's just so much to be done. Oh, Lord, so many souls to be won. Oh, Lord, this world is falling apart. Crying for love from a broken heart. Here am I. Send me. Though there's really not much I can do, what I have seems so small, but I want to give it all to You. Here am I. Send me. We have so much to be done here at O'Neill. A great congregation of God's people. A people that can accomplish so much. A people that have and with the help of God, surely with us each one doing our part, making sure from our hearts that we're ready now to be used in the service of God. For those that are not in Jesus this morning, I suggest to you that you hear the Word of God. Faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. I suggest that you believe what you hear, that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. John 8, verse 24, Jesus said, unless you believe that I am He, you shall die in your sin. And truly you want to repent, change. Decide to come to Jesus. Jesus said in Luke 13, verse 3, I tell you nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. And confess that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus said, whosoever shall confess me before men, him will I also confess before my Father which is in heaven. Whosoever shall deny me, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. And be baptized, be immersed. 1 Peter 3, verse 21, the like fear were indeed unto even baptism doth also now save us. Not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but an answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And yes, live each 24 hours faithfully in the service of God. Revelation 2 and verse 10, be thou faithful unto death, and I'll give thee the crown of life. I believe that with all my heart, don't you? Are you faithful? Are you serving the Lord? Can you be counted on? Lord, use me. Let each one of us put forth the effort to love each other, respect each other, forgive and help each other. And let us go forth doing those things that God tells us to do. And let us never fall back into those things that He tells us not to do. What do I tell brethren that err from the truth, and there are those that do? What does God say? Do I tell brethren what God says concerning those who have erred in the truth, who need to be converted? When I turn to James 5, verse 19 and 20, brethren, if any of you do err from the truth, so I know that a brother can err from the truth, and they need to be converted. They need to change. James says, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins. Who? The erring child of God. And James says, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. A tragedy occurred that you've probably seen on the computer, some of you. Don't know if you know about the young man from Harding College. He was a member of the church. Fine young man. Somehow, a police lady who had been drinking came to his apartment. The door evidently must have been open. Thinking that actually that was her apartment. She had a gun, pulled out a gun and shot and killed him. Mark was telling me about this because he knew of some circumstances about the young man. Of course, now she's been arrested. She's done awful, just to think. And I think on Friday, they buried this 25-year-old young man. Awful things can happen in life, but I want to suggest to you this morning, the answer for it all is in Jesus Christ. And when you know the truth and you're not following it, you can be guaranteed that you're among those that have erred from the faith. You need to make sure that your life and every hour of every day is right with God. What a beautiful song we're singing this morning for your encouragement. If you're in this audience this morning and you need to respond, you've never been baptized, here is water. What doth hinder you from being baptized? Will you be a follower of Jesus? And if you're an erring child of God, will you come back before it's too late when you leave this world and leave it sometimes, as this young man did real quickly. Are you prepared to meet the Lord? Yes, let's be doers. Let's don't engage in those things that He says not do. And we can by simply following and obeying the Lord. Give me your hand, but guard your heart, and obey Him while together we stand. And while we stand.